will start with the last talk from this morning that was postponed on the hyper NIS by Dmitry Krivenkov. So please.
Good afternoon, dear colleagues. I would like to present to your attention the hyper NIS project implemented in the frames of SIM 1086, Strangers in Nucleon and Nuclei. The leaders of the project are Yuris Lukstins and Evgeny Strakovsky. Here you can see a list of members from the laboratory of high energy physics, from other laboratories, and the list of our foreign colleagues. The main aim of HyperNIS project is to search for and study of neutron extremely rich drip line hypernuclei, hydrogen 6 and hydrogen 8. Such hypernuclei can be obtained by using of this reaction in the lithium 7 beam for the hydrogen 6 lambda and in the secondary lithium 9 beam for hydrogen 8 lambda. Let me underline that hypernuclei hydrogen 4 and hydrogen 3 also will be registered in the same experiments. It will increase for statistics of lifetime measurements for lattice hypernuclei. Helium 6 lambda can be obtained by using of this reaction in the lithium 7 beam. It's poorly investigated nucleus and lifetime has not got yet. Actually, we have a long investigation program. At the next step, we would like to get binding energy of loosely bound hypernuclei hydrogen 3 and helium 6 in the hypernuclear beam by measuring the column dissociation cross section in the different target. Also, we can try to calculate matrix elements of the weak lambda N interaction by using of Lubomir-Meiling ideas. Why do we do this? It's actual problem of modern hypernuclear physics. Here you can see the most discussed topics of the last hypernuclear conference at Sendai. You can see that HyperNIS project is aimed on the same tasks. As the result of the conference, Sakaguchi said that the level structure of hydrogen 6 lambda still has ambiguities only with the Fenuda result, and complementary measurements are necessary. I should say here that we are using reaction fragmentation of lithium 7, and this process, probability of this process is much higher than double charge exchange, which is a rare process. What is the problem here? Presently, only Fenuda experiment results have three event candidates for the role of hydrogen 6. They are shown here. While the experiment E10 G-Park didn't detect any hydrogen 6 lambda, here I have to add that the GAL had predicted that the background is too big to indicate hypernuclear signal. Both of the experiments have some disadvantages which can be partially excluded in our project. Among the theoretical works, there is also no common opinion. Emi Kahiyama showed that there are no any stable states of hydrogen for lambda and N systems. From the other side, Gibson et al. Found the bound states of such systems with the main state energy about 700 keV, which is not a lot, but still positive. As I said, there are no precise data about hydrogen 6 lambda, and we can solve this problem. There are two different approaches how to produce hypernuclei. One of them was produced by Podgoretsky and has different implementations. Some of them are shown here. The main idea is to produce hypernuclei from the target nuclei. But another method we used was elaborated at Dubna. And hypernuclei is obtained from the beam nuclei and can decay outside the target. Remember our streamer chamber experiment, there is a photo of typical image of hyperhydrogen decay in the streamer chamber, selected by special trigger. Hydrogen 4 lambda came from the left and disintegrated here into a pion and helium 4 fragment. The decay point is on about 20 centimeters from the target. Another example, in the reaction we use lithium 7 nucleus comes from the left and falls to the carbon target. Counters A tell us that it was lithium. Cherenkov counters B shows that we have two single charged particles after the target. If hypernucleus decays inside the vacuum vessel, then decay vertex can be reconstructed by proportional chambers 1 and 2. Vacuum vessel allows us to collect only free decays without any interactions. Gen detectors are planned but not installed yet. Counter C register combination of two fragments, helium fragments and single charged fragments. Our trigger system is based on charge increasing, and it allows us to suppress the background at the level 10 to the 4. Wall of time of flight detectors is for measuring momentum of slow pions. Magnet proportional chambers 3 and 4, and the last counter is for fragment determining. Actually, it's enough 10 events to say does hydrogen 6 lambda exist or not. But for the study of such hypernuclei, optimal statistics is about 500 events. If we assume that the production cross-section of hydrogen 6 lambda and is similar with hydrogen 4 lambda, and we have ideal nucleotron beam, then 600 of hydrogen 6 lambda per day are expected. However, last time we worked, nucleotron parameters were not so good. And if the binding energy of hydrogen 6 lambda is very low, production cross-section can be lower than for hydrogen 4 lambda. In this case, optimal first run time length is 200 hours. This table shows the production cross-section for the lightest hypernuclei. Experimental values are from Dubne experiments, and calculated values also were made for Dubne experiments. What do we have for the goal reaching? We have a spectrometer which is intensively upgraded last years. The most important improvement consisted of R&D and production of new front-end electronics for proportional chamber. A new high voltage supply system was introduced for trigger multipliers, tubes, and for the proportional chambers. Also, a new electronic gas system for RPC allows one to improve time resolution. Also, gas supply system for proportional chamber is upgraded. Gas system. How does it look like? You can see here, this is amplifiers. It's concentrators. The proportional chambers gathered with new front-end electronics is shown here and here. This is a block of four Cherenkov counters with subsequent quartz radiators. High-density graphite target is placed close to the radiators. This is a new electronic gas supply system for RPC. Block of four Cherenkov counters is installed near the vacuum vessel shown here. This is the amplitude distribution from the one of Cherenkov counters obtained in the lithium 7 beam. Amplitude spectrum of signals from a stencilation counter of the trigger system obtained with the carbon 12 beam is shown here. The ground suppression above factor at least 10 to the 4 can be obtained with four counters in coincidence. Time resolution of time of flight system is about 200 picoseconds, and it's enough for our tasks. Two different positions of an aluminium target, red one and blue one, we were reconstructed with two-track vertex reconstruction procedure. Arrows show the real target width. Blue square shows the real position of vacuum vessel. Position of two trigger counters, which are before target, are also seen. It's important thing that the distribution we obtained from the real data. All calculations we need to optimize the spectrometer are done. For example, the simulation of expected hypernuclear decay points shows that 70% of the statistics are inside 50 centimeters distance. If the first point is on 5 centimeters distance from the target, it means that most part of hypernuclei will decay inside vacuum vessel. There is also a distribution of pine heats in the proportional chambers situated at a different distance from the target is shown here. There are no any decay pines outside the chamber. Our trigger system is tuned to detect hypernuclear hydrogen isotopes. Due to hydrogen 4 lambda is studied enough, this process will help us to check whether our setup work well or not. Also, it will increase wall statistics of hydrogen 4 lambda lifetime measurements. Here there is a simulation of separation of daughter nuclei from these processes. It's clearly seen that we can separate the helium fragments from the process. What about the team of Hypernis project? Full time equivalent is 1135. Most part of them, it's department of nuclear intrinsic strangeness physics. Other departments from our laboratory take a part in the Hypernis project implementation. Jalepov laboratory of nuclear problems take a part too. This table shows the cost estimates for the project. Significant costs in the next year are connected with purchase and installation of GEM detectors. And so we have come to the conclusions. The Hypernis project, the Hypernis spectrometer is ready for hypernuclear experiments. Lithium and carbon beams are necessary. The very first experiments are devoted to hypernuclei hydrogen 6 and hydrogen 8 problem. Do they exist or not? Hypernis research program is adequate for the method elaborated in Dubna. Chosen tasks are interesting and necessary for hypernuclear physics and hard to be solved at particle beams. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this presentation. This project has been reviewed by Jean. So Jean, maybe you tell us your remarks before we open this for discussion.
Okay. This is an experiment that will create new fundamental knowledge about hypernuclei. And these are interesting. They to nuclear binding, and also because brings in a new component here. Considerable interest has arisen recently with new measurements, also from the ELLIS collaboration, where an intense debate is taking place whether this can be explained by a coalescence model or by a thermal model as proposed by Peter Brown Munsinger. I think this experiment I support is very strongly. If one looks at the FTE list on the two slides before there, they list 14 members on that slide and an FTE of 11.35, which I consider to be a very good number here. Also the budget, they are requesting $157,000 over 3 years. Most of it in the first year, in 2019, they list 93,000, and in the second and third years, 32,000. The travel expenses are very reasonable. They are requesting 20,000 for each one of the 3 years. So this looks like a very well balanced experiment that will produce new fundamental results. So I would support this very strongly.
Okay, thank you very much, John. So this is now open for a discussion, comments. Yes, Stanislav.
Concrete question. Your title was Strangeness in Nucleons and Nuclei. What do you understand under the strangeness in nucleon? I was interested a couple of years for strangeness in nucleon, but it was concerned of the strange quarks from the sea. And what do you understand in this in relation with your experiment?
Perhaps I can answer this question. It is actually, you are right, this is a problem related with a possible hidden or not hidden strangeness in nucleons. Do the mixture exist there? And that's why we have collaboration at the moment, a collaboration with Japanese people working with a photo production of vector mesons, including phi mesons, from protons, hoping to get something. But this is not the main goal. The main goal was shown here. This is discovery goal.
Hans.
I have a big question about the experiment. You have a 12 centimeter long target, right?
Yes.
And I haven't heard a thing here about multiple reactions. If I have a particle coming in, I have a good chance, a lithium beam, that it interacts 30% of its time, second time, mm-hmm. even the product, alpha particles or deuterons or so on. So have you studied what could mimic your signal looking into multiple reactions?
Yes, we have a long target. Actually, we have calculations of the optimal length of target, and if the target will be short, we will not have a lot of hypernuclei. But if it's too long, that efficiency is go down. So the optimal length for us is 12 centimeters. And we have very strong trigger which can suppress the background which can be produced by such long target.
I do not understand what you just said. I know that the target efficiency, that the target of 12 centimeter has a certain clearly a certain interaction length, and that is close to one or near to one. And a second particle produced in your first has then also a certain amount of thickness and interacts again. So what is the percentage in your signal coming from multiple collisions in one target, in one event?
I have a short answer.
if we have multiple interactions, we have multiple particles go outside of the target. But our trigger is tuned so that we have increased the charge after the decay. No target can produce increase of the charge of the particle. So we have decay in the vacuum. But if we have several interactions in the target, it doesn't matter for us because our trigger will reduce this event. So here you can see that we have counters B, which detect the one or two charged particles. So we detect here hypernuclear or hypernuclear with a proton. That's all. And after vacuum, we have counters C, which detect the increases of the charge. So we have helium here. So here is a one charge, and here is a two charge, decrease. There's nothing in vacuum which can emulate it. So it doesn't matter what happens in the target.
Yes.
Okay, Antonio.
I'm also very glad to see that the number of FTEs is large compared to the number of participants. So this should be a model. However, I don't understand. Maybe you said I didn't hear. But what about a competition about this measurement? You didn't mention, right? Is there anybody else doing this?
No, what?
As far as I know, the FUNID experiment, which is shown here, is the only experiment which they get the 3 points. But it's closed, there's nobody else. The experiment E10, as far as I know, is also stopped.
Okay. Okay, if there are no further questions, I think we should thank the speaker again. The next project is Alpom 2 by Nikolai Iskunov.
I would like to speak about proposal Alpom 2. Which is a collaborator, which I think continue to do measurement of analyzing power in the reaction of proton CH2 up to 7.5 GeV/c and neutron. We are planning to use different target and also to measure up to 6 GeV/c at the nucleotron. So this is participant from Joint Institute, also 4 participants from United States, 3 participants from Slovakia, from France, 2 participants, and from Scotland, 3 participants. This is the main moment when we are planning to study analyzing power is to continue measurement of nucleon form factor, because you know this data up to now from proton, this is up to approximately 8 GeV squared, and for neutron only up to 3.5 squared. Also, it's possible to continue measurement further, and maybe I think this electric path of form factors became zero. It also maybe for neutron also became zero again. And also the main experiment is spin transfer reaction, using spin transfer reaction and this reaction. And you see this electron with half polarization along the momentum. And this is proton. And after that, you measure polarization, component of polarization of proton, recoil proton, and neutron orthogonal component is equal zero. This very interesting calculation was done in 1974 when we have now this polarized electron beam, now the good value of analyzing power for proton. And so this reaction is very interesting. I say this is component, and after that you see this relation, electric to magnetic form factors. It's only connected with this component. So no, I think no error contribution from electron polarization and for analyzing power for this reaction. It's usually for measurement polarization of proton or its component, it's using usually binary reaction. Here this analyzing power for proton-proton, this neutron-proton, this also proton-proton, and for elastic scattering process. In this case, you see for proton, neutron-proton, I think analyzing power closer to zero up to about 6 GeV we see. And this analyzing decreasing with energy. For it's also an interesting moment, it's another charge exchange reaction and neutron on proton with the proton. We see this increasing with energy, practically analyzing power. So, if we plot this data, clean data on proton, proton, neutron, proton, it's now GIF region, it's approximated by straight line for proton, proton, elastic neutron, proton. This is real data on, I think it's CH2 and carbon, which use in the polarimetry, and you see this analyzing power very low. But for neutron, proton from charge exchange reaction, this is analyzing power increasing with increasing the momentum of nucleon. How we get in Dubna the polarized proton and neutron beam? And we use fragmentation reaction like this. And you see this for neutron we have only half of momentum, but for proton due to transfer polarization transfer reaction is in this region S wave dominated, and we can do measurement at about if you have half of momentum 4.5 we can move up to 5.3. So this is I think a situation with resonances in our nucleotron, and possible to get this approximately nucleotron is can produce polarized neutron beam about 13 GeV OVC, and we get neutron up to 6.5 GeV OVC and proton up to 7.5 GeV. How this is scheme of transportation polarized neutron in this direction, and neutron we have this 10 to 8 per spill. This is polarimeter at this place, and the production target for proton in this place, for neutron in this place, here collimator, and after that it's our setup. This is a beam polarized monitoring. Of course, we use usual way, it's I think double arm polarimeter. This is forward, this is recoil part, and the same on left and right. And you see here, I think this is relation, each point corresponding to one spill. This is about 5 hours, and you see this is zero polarization mode, plus polarization mode, negative polarization mode. And you see from this picture, the polarization of this mode was two times higher than positive one. This is our setup. This is neutron. This is monitoring neutron beam at our setup. This is trigger counter for proton. Here this drift chamber. Here also drift chamber. This is target. We use several targets in our measurement. And this is hadron calorimeter. This is trigger for neutron beam. This is the size of the beam at this place. By the way, using hadron polarimeter is the main goal to reject low energy particle. And you see this energy deposit, this is scattering angle. It's on carbon CH2 distribution. This is on the kappa, and this is proton on CH2. It's, of course, it's better to reject this low energy part of particle, mostly pions. And you see, this is very interesting for kappa. We see this at a bigger angle. We have abundance of low particle. By the way, this is proton. In this case, you see this for this hadron calorimeter, it's not have not good resolution, energy resolution in this energy range because it's very low. About this is 37.5 GeV/sec. And by the way, it's additional moment. It's to use this configuration for azimuthal segmentation, in which we can, I think, to measure azimuthal dependence of analyzing or scattering process. This is measured asymmetry during our data taking. This is, by the way, it's common for very wide range of scattering angle, but using tracks from drift chamber. This is two mode, and this from hadron calorimeter. And also here see factor to mode factor 2 for polarization value. If you combine these two mode, we see the very good coincident with using track red point and blue for hadron calorimeter. So it's very good. We can use one or mode. It depends on experiment. We use any mode for detecting, analyzing azimuthal asymmetry. This for control measurement, we use proton beams, of course, and you see this dependence of this is build-up multiply scattering angle. This is transfer momentum. And you see this 3 GeV, this is 3.75 data, and this 4.2. We have our old data here, and we see very good coincidence, good agreement with all data. About our measurement, new measurement, because it's the first time we use neutron to scattering on the bulk of material. Because analyzing power, when I showed before, it's, I think, using pure material, hydrogen and so on. But in this case, we use CH2. It's usually use CH2 for or CH or carbon. You see this is difference for momentum. You see it's for a bit decreasing with increasing the momentum. But here this the same momentum but different target. It's practically we cannot see dependence of material. After this measurement, it's was very interesting to, I think, to use another material, because in this case it show us which is not dependent on hydrogen part of this target, no dependence. So we, after that we are planning to use kappa to measure the polar, the measure analyzing power. You see that the scattering and this is different cross section, like different. It for neutron, this is for proton on kappa, and this is on CH2. You see, it's this for proton is more or less the same, but I think for kappa for neutron, you see, by the way, it's more flat over such a range, and here this is much steeper, but it's result so. It's here I show this is for CH2. This is asymmetry for CH2. You see the neutron has approximately 5%. And when, by the way, it's this is value, value of energy deposit in hadron calorimeter. This is no cut. And here this 2,000, this 4, and so. And you see we are moving in this direction. Now we will see how the analyzing power changing. You see this is, if you remove this low energy particle, it's analyzed increase, and also in proton beam also. But it's very, you see this is on kappa, this is increasing 2 times for neutron, but for proton it's less. So if you use kappa and use hadron calorimeter, we can increase analyzing power factor 2. What is important for future measurement? The first moment, it's analyzing power, it's higher than in elastic process, and because in this case about 10%. It's also the polarimeter became compact. Instead of approximately 30 centimeter or 40 centimeter length for the analyzing target, we use here only 4 centimeter. In this case, we can kinematically, I think, more compact. It's good for kinematical restriction for process. And also, it's of course, it's a registration chapter moving forward. It's much easier than detection the particle, recoil particle, which is usually doing in measurement when we use elastic process. In this case, neutron, I think, interact with proton, and after that you detect recoil proton. You can measure in bulk of material. It's very, I think, very heavy business. And also we can use inverse reaction with detection in neutron and forward direction. And we can use this maybe to measure proton polarization at Nikka collider. Okay. So after that, I think the new measurement was accepted in GLAB after getting the pilot result of our experiment. Summary, it's, we have, I think, good, I finish it. And what is important to do this measurement? Because it's Q squared, this is analyzing power. You see for proton measured up to this and 7.5 moving the Q squared up to this. And for neutron, we moving in this from can do positive. This is a schedule. here this, I think we need 42 kilo. This is contribution for other participant. We need two, I think, this time. And this our collaboration. We would like to continue our measurement. Thank you a lot.
Thank you very much. This project was reviewed by Stanislav Dubniska. So please give us your impression and then we open it for discussion.
As it was demonstrated by Nikolai, by the original idea of Achieser and Rekalo, it has been possible in Jayla, Virginia, with the CEBA facility to measure simultaneously transverse and longitudinal components of the recoil nucleon's polarization in the electron scattering plane of the polarization transfer process when electron is polarized, scattered on the unpolarized nucleon, and this polarization is transferred to the nucleon at the end state, and to determine the ratio of electric to magnetic form factor of the nucleon. This totally different approach, especially of electron-proton and magnetic-proton measurements, revealed behavior of electric form factor to be in complete disagreement with its behavior evaluated by the old-fashioned Rosenblum technique from measured cross-section of elastic electron, unpolarized electron-proton scattering. In fact, the new and more precise approach now clearly demonstrates up to 8.5 GeV squared, as Kola was demonstrating, the non-dipole behavior. And for many years, from 15s, everybody believed that electric and magnetic form factor have dipole behavior. Moreover, we have constructed unitary analytic 10 resonance model previously for electronic structure of nucleons, and it was published in Progress Particle Nuclear Physics in 2005, when data exists only for 3 GeV squared, and also this is confirmed by improved 9 resonance version of this model published in Fizerev C 2016. We predict an existence of this not only non-dipole behavior, but that there is zero of electric form factor around 13 GeV squared. All above mentioned indicates that the approved GEP5 JLAB experiment, in which one expects measurements of the ratio up to 12-15 GeV squared, is very important. However, such experiment JLAB within large energies up to 12-15 can be realized only after the analyzing power measurement in JINR with nucleotron in the framework of the Alpon 2 project will be completely finished, which already partially has been realized in the years 2016 and 2018. During these years, the Alpon 2 setup with various polarimeter targets was upgraded, and a collection of data on the azimuthal asymmetries with polarized proton and neutron beams on 4 polarimeter analyzing target has been carried out. In the year 2019, a modification of the neutron channel up to 6 GeV is planned to be realized, and in the year 2020, a party also 2021, is planned taking data taking on the measurement of the analyzing power at proton momenta 6.5 and 7.5 GeV and at neutron momentum 5 and 6 GeV. The rest of the year 2021 is reserved for data analyzing and publication of the results. Therefore, realization of the Alpon 2 project is highly desirable and we fully support it. The planned works for the years 19 and 21 are adequate to the asked $42,000 from the budget of JNR, which are on $15,000 lower in comparison with the years 2016-2018. And therefore, this funding seems to be reasonable for the realization of the Alpon 2 proposal. Finally, taking into account all mentioned above, I strongly recommend to approve a realization of the ALPON 2 project for another 3 years, 2019-2021, with the first priority.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Yes, I just finished.
I have the question which I wanted to give to Kola during that presentation. I was a referee also 3 years ago for this project, and I was expecting that during 3 years they will measure all what is need, bring it to the Jefferson lab, and they will measure this ratio of these form factors. I'm asking why they are in need of prolongation for another 3 years.
By the way, I try to answer on this question. The first moment is the intensity of polarized deuteron beam was low than we expected. In this case, it's impossible to do measurement at higher momentum, really, because in this case we have the problem with extraction beam at higher momentum, it will be low. We know about this. It's the main. Also, polarization of the beam also low. One mode, two times low. It's not so good and so on. But in this case, we are planning to now the situation improve with polarized source, as I know, and we will see, I think, more good situation in this business, and also improving the intensity. It's also was done now a bit. After that, I think we will do the measurement as soon as possible. Of course, it's for us, it's also interesting another. We study, I think, neutron on nuclear and detect charged particle in forward direction. But we also do measurement inverse reaction when proton on nuclear target with detection on neutron in forward direction using only hadron calorimeter. And maybe this reaction and higher energy will be, more powerful than now we use this proton on CH2 target.
Another question, as I understood, you are looking for the most suitable analyzing power material. Is it so?
Yes. I think for neutron now.
That's kitchen because nobody knows which is the best one. Yeah.
Maybe vanadium is much better because this material is 2 times density more.
I understand. So
it's by the way, it's also very interesting. When we use neutron, it's no detection system before target. After that, you detect charged particle in forward direction. Really, it's very good. It's proton. It's not the same because unscattering. We not use, thicker target in this business.
Thank you. And that's the question to me. Another. I have that proposal here. Why you are not joining to that project some young people?
Oh, young people. I think. By the way. This is. From China, with I defended PhD in France last year. After I think getting this result from our measurement and so.
Okay, thank you. That's
this
enough
is
for
student. Me. This is also preparing thesis. So it's that's all for today.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so we thank the speaker again, and we move now to the DSSS report by Marian Janek.
Mm-hmm. my talk, I will present the current status of Luton spin structure collaboration, which includes scientists from 20 institutes and research centers from six countries. The main goal of neutron spin structure collaboration is to investigate spin structure of nucleon-nucleon and three-nucleon short-range correlations through the measurement of polarization observables in deuteron-induced reactions at intermediate energies obtained at nucleotron from these two reactions, from deep elastic scattering at deuteron energy from 300 MeV up to 2000 MeV, and deuteron proton breakup reaction at deuteron energy from 300 to 500 MeV. Fundamental degrees of freedom play a role at internucleonic distances, which are comparable with the size of nucleon, and they can be manifested as, for example, delta isobaric excitation. The regime corresponding to constituent counting rules can occur already at 500 MeV in case of these reactions, deuteron-deuteron to helium-neutron or triton-proton. And spin parts of two-nucleon and three-nucleon correlations are important to describe the light nucleon structure, as it was found in this paper, and the systematic study of hadronic reaction, which are induced by deuterons at nucleotrons, allows us to study the structure of two-nucleon and three-nucleon forces. Here, the analyzing power in DP elastic scattering at 880 MeV is shown. Close symbols are nucleotron data, and dashed solid and dot dashed lines are various predictions of distribution based on multiscattering model using CD-Bohn neutron wave function, solid lines Faraday calculation using CD-Bohn potential, and dot dashed lines are optical potential calculation using de Baryon wave function. Here the cross section for the DP elastic scattering at 1400 MeV is shown. Lines represent the predictions of calculations based on a relativistic multiple scattering model. In case of single scattering, single plus double scattering there, and with inclusion of delta isobar excitation. Single scattering term describes the data in the forward angles up to 40 degrees. Inclusion of double scattering term describes the data up to 60 or 70 degrees, and delta isobar inclusion describe data at improve the description of data at backward angles. Final cross section data were obtained also for 1030 and 1080 MeV. As it was said, the purpose of the DSS experimental program is obtain information about two-nucleon and three-nucleon forces from these two reactions, and the internal target station is very well suited for this type of measurements. Here in the vicinity is our detection setup, in this case for deep elastic scattering. Recently, there was significant upgrade of DSS setup, new infrastructure, cabling, high voltage system based on MPOT, new VME data acquisition, upgrade of 40 counters for elastic scattering studies, and upgrade of Delta E8 data EE detectors for deuteron proton breakup reaction investigations. The polarization of deuteron beam was measured in 2016 and 2017. Measurement measurement was performed at 170 MeV. In June 2016, that was demonstrated that polarized ion source, polarized ion source demonstrate good vector and tensor polarizations. And for the next runs in November, December, and February of 2017, there was four runs for which ideal values of in case of polarization of new polarized ion source is shown are shown here. On the right side, the measured values of polarization. Which were from 65 to 75% of these ideal values. In February, the data for the deep elastic scattering has been investigated using polarized neutron beam at internal target station at various configurations for these 8 energies. Here, angular dependence of vector and tensor analyzing powers in deep elastic scattering at 400 MeV. Again, full symbols, full squares are data from nucleotron, and curves are relativistic multiple scattering model calculations. In case of single blue line and single plus double scattering term, one can see that the double scattering term doesn't improve the description of the data in this case. Deep elastic scattering at 100 MeV for these three analyzing powers, data obtained at nucleotron, and again calculations based on relativistic multiple scattering model with single double scattering term and delta isobar excitation red curve. Energy dependence of vector analyzing power AOI in deep elastic scattering in angular energy range from 700 to 1800 MeV. It was obtained for 400 new data points. Full circles are the new preliminary data from nucleotron. Full squares are data obtained earlier in 2005. Open symbols are raw data. The figures, the results from tensor analyzing power AYY for the same reaction in the same energy region. Again, full circles are preliminary data from nucleotron, and full squares are previous data from nucleotron. It was found that that three nucleon forces have great impact on values of analyzing power and cross section. And here is some predictions which comes from nucleon models, and also from models which combines nucleon forces and also three nucleon forces. This was motivation for neutron-proton breakup reaction investigation. Internal target station. In the vicinity, we have 8 delta E detectors, and there was performed simulation in JANT. Here is open histograms represent experimental data on polyethylene. On the right side, the same, but obtained from simulation for these three detector configurations. Analyzing powers were measured for 8 detector configurations at 400 MeV, and here are two values, two results from in case of PP quasi-elastic kinematics at these angles. The other two results are shown here. These results can be combined in these values with relatively large error bars due to low statistics. There was measurement of polarization of protons in Teletarget station. Unpolarized and polarized proton intensity is our intensities are shown here, having 8 asymmetries and polarization values for PP quasi-elastic scattering. One can obtain the polarization values of polarizations for unpolarized and polarized protons are shown here, and we need to produce new detection system for protons at the internal target station. The PD elastic scattering study, there are some problems in description at backward angles in PD reactions, and it can be connected with possibly with relativistic effects, which becomes large at backward angles and possibly with manifestation of short-range three-nucleon forces. And answers can be done in measurement of in energy scan at from 100 to 1,000 MeV at internal target station when simultaneously will be performed polarimetry using PP quasi-elastic scattering. Results were published or accepted in 10 regular papers and reported in more than 20 talks. 2 master and 1 bachelor thesis were defended. The total beam time request with new polarized EOSOMs for 3 years is 700 hours for the measurement at internal target station. It includes 300 hours with ions for test and commissioning, 400 hours with polarized beams, protons and neutrons, to measure analyzing powers AY, AYY, and AXX for intermediate energy for deep elastic scattering below 700 MeV with the precision of 0.02 with average beam intensity about 5 times 10 to 9. To obtain analyzing power for DP non-mesonic breakup at 400 MeV with the same average beam intensity, simultaneous calibration of ITS and external beam polarimeters we plan at 1,600 MeV with the expected error bars with the same beam average beam intensity, and energy scan of the new nucleon analyzing power AY in PD elastic scattering in energy range from 100 to 1000 MeV with polarized protons. There are some risks, peak intensity in previous data taking were 8 times 10 to 8 and 2 times 10 to 7 for neutrons and proton respectively. Gene expenses for 3 years for new counters, for proton beams, new mechanics, GaN electronics. Expecting results, systematic data. We plan to obtain systematic data on cross-section and analyzing powers in DP elastic scattering between 700 and 1,800 MeV. This data will be analyzed and submitted to regular journals. We plan to obtain systematic data on analyzing powers for tensor vector and tensor analyzing powers in deep elastic scattering between 270 and 700 MeV at ITS. New polarized data for DP non-mesonic breakup between 300 and 500 MeV in coplanar geometry at ITS. Proton beam polarimeter for this energy range will be calibrated with this precision. We plan to obtain nucleon analyzing power AY in PD scattering in this energy range and to perform theoretical analysis of this hadron reaction. you know, we ask to prolongate project for 3 years with the first priority, and the realization will allow to obtain crucial data for the two nucleon and three nucleon short-range correlations and develop efficient polarimetry for nucleotron in NICA. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. So I'll give the floor now to Hans Gudbrod.
Thank you very much. So I agree with my two fellow referees that this program is scientifically of importance and that the team has shown competence in carrying out the experimental challenges. However, you have shown that you have low intensity beam, you have low intensity thickness of the target, so you have the risk that you may again not reach the limits which you want to have in your specific in your data. And I may remind you, which is often very ignored, that an hour of beam time at the nucleotron, if you do full costing, and I made a rough estimate, is certainly around $5,000 an hour. And I would like to see that an experiment puts an equivalent amount of budget or of effort into the equipment to make best use of it. And I see, so that means in your case, I see that you have done your prototype experiment with a few proton counters and so on, here and there and there. And my request to you is that you really try to improve the coverage of phase space by a big factor, because then it goes, since you make correlation measurements, it goes quadratically in your data. And you have international collaborators. Invite them to add 20, 30 or more of the telescopes. Make the telescopes that you have full coverage of possible phase space. And I would not run with a keyhole experiment. At the moment, you are a keyhole experiment with a few keyholes. And but you can. I do not demand that you make a 4-pi detector. That's nonsense. But you have so much room for improvement to make sure that your 700 hours, which you request, will lead you to the sharpness of your signal, which you want to have and better. So I'm supporting the program, but I request that you make all the efforts within this next 18 months, which you have time to build up an improved experimental setup, because you have simple detectors. I don't consider them very sophisticated. That you have really better coverage and better use of the nucleotron. If you are not doing that, I think you're wasting nucleotron investment money. Thank you.
Do you want to respond to that?
In case of deuteron proton elastic, I think it is practically okay if the intensity will be as expected. In the case of deuteron proton breakup reaction investigation, the detectors needs a serious upgrade and also some data taking in order to test these detectors, and this its investments, this money is not included in this for the next 3 years. This money.
So I think then you don't need to run the next 3 years. I mean, if your foreign guests cannot bring in 200,000 worth of detectors, you should ask them. And if you get here something more, you should ask. But I think you have not thought about it. You thought you can have this nicely covered with the deuteron detectors, and the proton detectors are 4-5. This looks to me funny, really funny. So I don't see the problem why not beef it up quickly, because you have in a year you have lots of time to do that.
Yeah, maybe another aspect to be considered with that. After you complete what you have done, what you have outlined here, this is the end of ALPOM, then you dismantle? Or do you think that there is a long future to this type of measurements?
We plan to measure DP elastic scattering at lower energies and also PD reactions and polarimetry also at internal target station and at extracted beam. So for it will be for Nika also.
Yes.
So I would like to answer on the remark of Hans and also on the remark of our chairman. First, you know that we got a beam after 12 years of absence of the polarized beam. And so this, in fact, first commissioning run, and we did not reach in this run the required intensity. So main goal of, we consider that main goal of our investigation for next 3 years is to perform the measurements at the full intensity. So for us, this is 5 × 10⁹ on the target. And in this case, actually, for the binary reactions, we don't need to increase the acceptance, because it's just measurements to take some data which will be important for the physics, and on the other hand, very important for the polarimetry. And for the next 3 years, we consider as one of the main our tasks is to collect the data suitable for the polarimetry for Nika. For this, we need just to measure analyzing power in the binary reactions. For this, we don't need to have the acceptance. The full coverage, or let's say much more coverage, we need for the task on the study of deuteron breakup, because we need to measure two protons, we need to measure their energy, and then we reconstruct the missing mass and to measure the relative energy and to build some, to get some analyzing power with respect to this variable. Yes, surely. But our estimation that for to have the this coverage, we need to increase our detection system up to at least 15 detectors. We need R&D phase, because at least delta E detector should be based not on the phototubes readout, but on the CPM, and so we need some R&D stage. And also, finally, we estimate the cost of this detector as $300 or euros, something like that. And in this sense, we are very expecting on some help from our Japanese colleagues who also interested in this part. Maybe partly it will be covered by the sources from our collaborators, not only from GNR. But as I said, actually for the next 3 years, our main task is to put in the full operation of the ion source to get full intensity on our target and to provide physics plus polarimetry for Nika, especially for the protons.
Okay. We are accumulating some delay, and we still have a full agenda. So I would, if you have a question, please, very short.
Actually, I would like to make brief remark concerning intensity of the beam, and remind you first today's talk by Sidorin, where he said that new element buncher was added to the beam transfer line between source and the LINAC, and this buncher increased the intensity on a factor of about 5. It was absent before in the times when the work with polarized beams was done. So risk is risk, but still don't forget that about factor 5 should be obtained due to new buncher. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this comment. Okay, so I think we should thank our speaker again. And we move now to the presentation by Yuri Panebratsev on STAR.
I would like to present project participation of Joint Institute in the STAR experiment. And you know STAR is a big collaboration, and also physicists from our institute and from member state, Slovakia, Bulgaria, Czechia, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan also participate in our group together with us in this experiment. And I will not speak a lot about STAR research program, only about our participation, but I would say that RIG provides unique possibility for experimentalists. We have a huge range, an energy range. We have polarized proton, proton nucleus collision, nucleus-nucleus, different collisions. And it gives us possibility for new research, and STAR has results in many research with polarized proton, with light quarks, heavy quarks, with lepton probes, and probably such bright program give motivation to include this experiment for 7-year plans of Joint Institute. And now I will say about our contribution to this experiment last 3.5 years. First, I will demonstrate a short list of publications with essential general contribution. It's correlation femtoscopy, it's study of nucleus-nucleus collision, and self-similarity approach, and scaling of strange particles. And now I will say a little bit more about our contribution. First direction of our group is development of correlation femtoscopy to study particle production dynamics and neural resonance formation. It physicists from Russia and Czechia work together on this, and we have a few very essential results. First high statistic measurement of lambda-lambda correlation. It's first high statistic measurement lambda-lambda correlation function for gold-gold collision at energy 200 GeV. And it's possible to say that RIG now is Hyperon factory for investigation of Hyperon-Hyperon interactions, and in base of this star measurement, of course, is analysis which was suggested in Dubna by Richard Lednitsky, Lyubosits, and this results published in Swiss Ref Letters. And second results is also absolutely new results. It's observation of interaction between antinucleus. It was first study of two antiproton correlation function with data taken by the star experiment at RIC. And we show attracting nuclear forces between two antiprotons and present the measurement of two key parameters that characterize the corresponding strong interaction. I mean scattering length and effective range. And this result was published in Nature and has big, PR response. And so people was excited that physicists now know something not only about proton-proton interaction, but also for proton-antiproton interaction, antimatter interactions. And next direction is self-similarity and fractality in heavy ion collision. We have developed some methods for such kind of analysis. Probably it's phenomenology, but this phenomenology give explanation wide set of data in different energy range, and now we extend this to proton nucleus and nucleus-nucleus collision, and the international group from Dubna, Czechia, Slovakia work on this, and we did analysis of energy in energy range from 7 GeV to 200 GeV, and with different centralities, and with high with PT up to 12 GeV, and this method and comparison of proton-proton collision and proton-nucleus and nucleus-nucleus give us possibility to estimate energy losses that energy losses in nuclear medium, and it's very important if we want to have some better understanding when we're looking for some phase transition or critical points. We should know how much energy constituent lost in nuclear excited nuclear medium. And with us work young scientists, and as a result, during last few years, we have one PhD defense by Alexey Aparin is scaling in cumulative and high PT particle production in proton nucleus collision at high energy. It's very essential result. I mean that when we decrease energy of RIC, we have possibility to study traditional for our research, for our laboratory research field region, cumulative region, and its region also related to high PT region. It's very essential for B-ManagerScan program, B-ManagerScan 2, and for probably future experiment with proton nucleus, new experiment with proton nucleus collisions. And another sample is master work, Timur Amangaliyev from Kazakhstan, and he made some Monte Carlo simulation, RCP, for BIS-1 energy, but for master diploma, it's, for me, it looks like good results. And of course, we regularly participate in international conferences, and on this list I present only our contribution for the STAR collaboration. It was five such kind of contribution, and we have a lot of individual contribution in different physical aspects related to RIC, physical RIC and STAR research program. You see contribution for Peter Philip, very interesting research related to strangeness and decay resonance as a strong magnetic field. And in spite of correlation femtoscopy, very interesting results of Valery Luboshets also for spin correlations. And heavy quark particles with heavy quark, and totally we have about 18 such kind of contribution for the STAR. It was about results, and now I will go to future plans, and for this year and probably next year we involved in high statistic isobar system experiment. We have two isobar, ruthenium 96 and zirconium 96, and you know that STAR has some evidence for chiral magnetic effect, but it's this experiment with ruthenium and zirconium very different number proton and neutron give us direct answer with occurrence about 6%. What fraction of observed phenomena really related to charge separation due to this chiral magnetic effect? It's first experiment which now we have started. And second experiment is high statistic global polarization measurements. And this year will be special measurement for energy 27 GeV. And I will go back to discussion of this topic a little bit later, but global lambda polarization is a signal of vorticity of perfect liquid, and it looks like very perspective direction of for research. And next topic which we are planning to do in at least start 2019-2021, it's new energy scan program, beam energy scan 2. It will be two mode, collider mode in energy range from 7.7 GeV up to 19.6 GeV, and with fixed target mode from 3 GeV to 7.7 GeV. And mainly collaboration will concentrate on fluctuation and improvement in flows for five margins, and of course collaboration will study low mass dilipton measurements. And on right picture you see that how we decrease statistical errors. And I also have a table for all measurements and what we expected in which statistic we expected to accumulate, and what statistic need for different observables, but I have no time to speak more about these two tables. Now I want to say a few words about global polarization in nucleus collision. It's very interesting phenomena, and many years ago, Dubna theoreticians also predict this phenomena. I mean, Tiriaev and his colleagues. And now for us, looks very interesting to take into account possibility to have theoretical support to participate more strongly in this global polarization in nuclear collision. I mean, not only B manager scan different energy and with this isobaric measurements. And I also want to say that it's very important for in our research program. There is a new theoretical model, Baznat, Gudima, Sorin, Tiriaev, and this is LAQ-GSM model plus guide radiodynamic. And our colleague Armin Kichichan with other physicists to do all chain from Monte Carlo generation, giant reconstruction. And his result is that we will see this global polarization not only in star but also in NICA detector in collider mode. It's results this polarization, global polarization from this theoretical model. And what is essential for us that in fixed target mode, we also will have possibility at star study global polarization. In case of collider experiment, we have efficiency for reconstruction of lambda 22%, and for fixed target experiment, it will be 6%, and probably two times more we will lost with different cuts. But in any case, taking in account that we will have huge statistics, it will be possible to reconstruct this global polarization in this energy scan program that is very essential for some preliminary knowledge for more precise measurement with NICA detector, with MPD and NICA detectors. And of course, beam energy scan requires some upgrades, and for this, there is new detector, inner TPC upgrade, and event plane detector, and some new detector for time of flight. And we participate in some work related to event plane detector. I will say about this a little bit later. And this is some geometry for fixed target experiment. But now I want to say, but in another place for our contribution. Traditionally, we work here in Dubna on development of new methods for data analysis together with Laboratory of Information Technologies and Professor Asoskov. And now we work together with physicists of STAR experiment and together with Germany physicists on new statistical method of particle identification, the identity method. I mean, following things that we will have huge statistics, and to analyze this, such things like fluctuation and other things, not enough old approach with particle identification, cut for particle identification, and people try to develop new approach, and you see that black point and red point. If you use traditional method and new method, there is a rather big difference. So we study how to analyze high statistic data properly way in simple things. And another contribution is now we have possibility for this grid technology, we have possibility to analyze star data here in Dubna. I mean, mainly I mean that we will do next period some reconstruction from micro DST to pico DST. It's huge job, and probably it will be produced in our computer tier cluster here in Dubna. And this results was presented in a few computing conferences for the STAR collaboration. And finally, I would say that our responsibilities, of course, is our responsibility is our NCAP EMC detector. It works good, but we take care about this. We participate and will participate in assembly testing and installation of event plane detector, and of course participation in data taking run analysis. And if now I want to finish, and of course we will participate in the star runs, and we will participate again in correlation femtoscopy. We are planning to participate in global polarization study, and we have some theoretical prediction for this analysis, and we are planning to continue our job on scaling and fractal structure studies. And we will use for our purpose for data analysis and for collaboration analysis this new distributed computing with help of our new possibility in Dubna grid. And this is schedule of the project and requested resources. So I finish. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This project has been reviewed by Peter Ristoff. His report is overall very positive. I will not read it all, but just mention the main points. Peter outlines the long-term participation of the GINR group in the STAR experiment since 1993, and with a list of topics and tasks that they have fulfilled during those years. And he also mentions what the plans are for the future, participation in the STAR runs, the studies of global polarization, the studies of scaling and fractal structures, and the development of the STAR GINR grid. So, as I said, the overall report is very positive. He mentioned a few remarks, like, for example, that there are many experienced senior physicists in the GINR group. However, the involvement of the young researchers is not discussed. Another remark is that the synergies between the STAR project and the NICA activities are not covered at all. And the third point, which is not very clear to me, but I think I guess what he means, but I will read it verbatim. The participation in conferences is highly non-uniform between the members of the group, and the fraction of major heavy ion events in the list is low. Okay, so those are the remarks from Peter. The last one, my reading of the last comment is that there is participation in conference, but not in the major ones. Is that correct?
Probably yes, but I say that we participate in all big conferences which organized by Dubna, Baldin Seminar, and in Russia, Lomonosov.
Yes.
Probably he means that we participate a lot of conference which organized here in Dubna or in Russia, but not too much conference outside. We also participate in the Montenegro, Warsaw.
These are not major, but he is
referent. We will take in account, and we will try to improve the situation. And what related to young people, I probably I feel that probably he will say something like this, and I prepare some special slide, one PhD and one master work, but I forgot to say that two or three young students will come for master program pretty soon in July or August for a few years, and we will, from Moscow State University, and of course it's really good that we have such kind of comments, and we should work and look for young people for participation in the experiment.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Hans, briefly, yeah. Please.
Very quickly. Do you think that the NICA TPC at MPD can learn something from STAR or better from ALICE?
It's a long story. I would say that people who participate in NA45 and after that in STAR with their experience in TPC, and now they work for NICA TPC. It's the same story with triggering system at the group who work for NA45, after that for STAR, now also joined with NICA. For ALICE, we not participate too much. I don't know, but in any case, what we know from STAR and NA45 probably will be very useful, and the real people who has experience there probably made big contribution. And as a topic, what I want to say is that for me, it looks very essential in the moment when NICA will start work like Collider, we should have good training people. And the best way is STAR for such kind of training. For example, we have a few shift leaders, one of them from Slovakia, one of them from Russia, and we have a lot of detector operators, and I think that if we're speaking about young people, we also should think how to prepare them for data taking run in colliders experiment. It's need some experience.
Okay, I think we will thank again Yuri, and we will break now for coffee, 4:30 sharp.